بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين All praise is due to Allah and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad peace be upon him and protect his nation from that which he fears for them Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have started explaining the 99 perfect names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because these 99 names have a special merit that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to in the hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari, Muslim and others, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that certainly Allah has 99 names, 100 minus 1. Whoever memorizes them and understands their meaning will be admitted into paradise. So what a great reward for the one who memorizes these 99 names and understands their meaning. We explained few of them in the previous lessons. I'll go over them quickly, then we'll continue insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. The first name, which is the greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is Allah. Allah means the one who is attributed with Godhood, which is the power to create the bodies and their characteristics. Therefore, Allah is the only one who deserves to be worshipped. Ar-Rahman, the one who has abundance of mercy to the believers and non-believers in this life, and only to the believers in the hereafter. Ar-Rahim, the one who has abundance of mercy to the believers, whether in this life or in the hereafter. So we find that the meaning of Ar-Rahman is more inclusive than the meaning of Ar-Rahim. Al-Malik, the one who is attributed with the perfect dominance, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is attributed with the absolute dominance, no restriction. And the dominance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His dominion is eternal and everlasting. We also talked about Al-Quddus, and that is the one who is clean of having a partner, clear of any resemblance to the creations, like being in need to a place or time, because Allah is the creator of place and time and the rest of the creations. As-Salam, the one who is clear of any deficiency. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not attributed with any attribute that entails imperfection, such as injustice, begetting a child, having a wife. These are attributes of imperfection and thus cannot be attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last one we explained last time is Al-Mu'min, and it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truthful in the promise that He gave to the believers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pay them the reward, the promised reward in full on the day of judgment. Now we talk about Al-Muhaymin, which is another name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also it refers to an attribute of perfection. Because all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are attributes of perfection. All the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are names of perfection. So there is no name that does not mean perfection. This is impossible. All the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to a perfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Muhaymin, it means the one who witnesses what the slaves do, say, and believe. So nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we have in our hearts and conceal in our hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about it. Allah said in the Quran, As-salamu al-mu'minu al-muhaymin. So al-muhaymin is one of the perfect names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means the one who witnesses what the creations do, say, or believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, قُلْ إِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي صُدُورِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ. So whatever you reveal of what is in your heart, or you keep it concealed in your heart, Allah knows about it. So you might conceal something from me, because I cannot see what is in your heart. The devil that is with you cannot see what is in your heart, cannot know what is in your heart. He might predict by looking at you, the impressions you give in your face. He might predict that you are scared, you are worried, something like this. But the devil cannot know what is in your heart. And the angels are informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about what this person concealed in his heart. See how they write, the two angels, Raqib and Atid, they write down whatever we say, whatever we do, and whatever we believe. Whatever we say, they can hear it. Whatever we do, they can see it. But whatever we believe, Allah informs them about what this person had in his heart, and so they write it down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about what we say, what we believe, and what we do. And that's the meaning of al-muhaymin. Allah witnesses what we do. Allah ta'ala said in the Quran, Wallahu shaheedun ala ma ta'amaloon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala witnesses what you do. So nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remember that you might conceal something in your heart from your parents, from your wife, from your husband, from your children, your relatives, from your boss at work, but you cannot conceal that from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep that in mind and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your home, in your work. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you are dealing with others, your wife, your children, your neighbors, your boss, your colleagues at work or at uni. Always have that fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala witnesses what you do. Sahal al-Tusturi was one of the righteous Muslims in the past. His uncle raised him in the Islamic way, in a pious and righteous way. And he became one of the righteous Muslims, this person, Sahal al-Tusturi. His maternal uncle who was raising him, looking after him, taking care of him. He wanted to teach him a lesson. So he said to him, "Oh my son, say every day, Allah knows what I do, Allah witnesses what I do. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Expressions like this. So he said them. Then after a while, he came back to him and said, "Are you saying this?" He said, "Yes." Then he said to him, "Say more now." He started saying them frequently. To an extent, he kept on saying, "Allah witnesses what I do, Allah sees what I do, Allah knows about what I do, nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." He kept on saying this. Then after a while, his uncle said to him, "Oh my son, the one who knows that Allah knows what he does, sees what he does, witnesses what he does, would he disobey him?" Then he said, "No." Then he said to him, "Don't ever disobey Allah." From that statement or statements he used to repeat, they became engraved in his heart. And that pushed him to an extent that he wouldn't come near a sin afterwards, because he's always recalling these statements. Allah sees what I do. Allah witnesses what I do. Allah knows about what I do. So every time he would recall these statements, and that kept him away from the sins, and he excelled in religion until he became one of the prominent righteous Muslims. So that's the meaning of al-muhaymin, the one who witnesses what the creations do say and believe. Al-Aziz, another perfect name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it means the all-powerful who is not defeated. Al-Aziz, the all-powerful who is not defeated. And no one can obstruct or delay from happening whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed to happen. So whatever Allah willed for to happen, it will happen at the time that Allah willed for it to happen, in the way that Allah willed for it to happen. So no one can delay it and no one can stop it from happening. Look now, one example. If one is about to die now, if they use all the technology in the world, if they take that person to the best hospital in the world, they bring professors and doctors trying to stop that person from dying, and Allah willed for him to die at a specific time. See the breath that a person breathes usually. This is counted. They should think about it in the other way around. When a person is growing, they feel happy. "Oh, my son is 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old," and so on. They say, "He is growing." They are counting up in years. "My daughter is 16, now 17, 18. But you know, as a matter of fact, from the day you are born, it's a countdown. Your days are lessening. The breath you are breathing is lessening one by one until you reach the last breath that Allah willed for you to breathe. You'll breathe it and that's it. That's your end. No one in the world can make you breathe one more breath after that one. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will to happen shall happen at the time that Allah willed for it to happen, in the way that Allah willed for it to happen. So Allah is not defeated. So that's the meaning of Al-Aziz, the all-powerful who is not defeated. And Allah ta'ala said, "Wallahu ghalibun ala amrih," meaning no one can stop what Allah willed from happening. No one. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his daughter Zainab this statement, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانْ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. And she kept on repeating it. Then it became widespread in this nation. Now you see, nearly all Muslims around the world, they know that statement. The Prophet taught that statement to one of his daughters, then it became widespread in this nation. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانْ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. So Allah Ta'ala is Al-Aziz, the All-Powerful who is not defeated. Allah is Al-Jabbar. Al-Jabbar can be interpreted in many meanings. One of the meanings of Al-Jabbar is that nothing happens in his dominion except what he willed. This whole universe is created by Allah Azza wa Jal. The angels are created by Allah. Humans are created by Allah. Jinn are created by Allah. Everything you see, a leaf of a tree falls off by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The waves of the oceans and seas are moving by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wind is moving. Every drop of rain is falling by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nothing happens in the dominion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outside the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Whatever Allah willed shall happen. So everything in this universe that is happening, whether it is good or evil, it's happening by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. We do not object to Allah Azza wa Jal for creating Satan, Iblis, the head of blasphemy. And that's Satan. Allah created him. Allah does whatever he wills. Allah created paradise and hellfire before creating human beings and jinn. Because Allah willed for some of his slaves to be believers and for others to be non-believers. We do not object to Allah because we all belong to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah does whatever he wills in what he owns subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because we are all owned by Allah Azza wa Jal, even if we obey Allah and Allah tortures us on the day of judgment, Allah wouldn't be unjust to us. But Allah promised by His grace that those believers will be in paradise. And Allah threatened by His justice that the non-believers will be in hellfire. So the believer receives enjoyment in paradise by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. The non-believer is tortured in hellfire by the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one of the meanings of Al-Jabbar, that nothing happens in his dominion except what he willed. It has another meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains the needs of the creations. Sustains the needs of the creations. Or the one who subjugated the creations for whatever he predestined for them. You cannot avoid your destiny. You cannot avoid your destiny. You are led to your destiny by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll give you one example. A person for 20 years used to work with his brothers in a shop. They had a trade and they used to work together for 20 years, and that's expected. If they were to go to the work, they take the shortest way to work. That's common sense. They're not gonna take the further route to get to the workshop. So they take the shortest one. After 20 years, one of them said, I feel I want to go that way. who wants to change after 20 years. So he chose another way, he selected another way. As he was trying to cross the street, a bus came and hit him and he died. So he was led to his what? Fate. So he did that by his choice. He chose to go that way, but this is what Allah predestined for him. So we are subjugated by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even when we make a choice, voluntary will, it's subject to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why we as Muslims have this habit to say, if I want to do something the following day or to visit someone, whatever it is, a person would say to another person, I'll see you tomorrow, insha'Allah. We always make it subject to the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Insha'Allah. Because if Allah didn't will for me to come to that place at that time, I won't be able to, no matter what. No matter what. You might be studying for the HSC exams, very hard, and you say, I want to get in 90s, band 6, studying very hard. Then you keep all night awake, studying, you pray Fajr, then you feel a bit tired, then you say, I'll sleep now for 1 hour. I'll put the alarm on. Then I'll wake up after that and go and do the exam. You might sleep in and you miss the whole exam and you take 0 instead. This could happen. So what was your will to get band 6? But you slept in. You didn't wake up. So we are subjugated by the will and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot make one move without the power of Allah. So that's one of the meanings of Al-Jabbar. We are dominated, controlled, subjugated by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for whatever has been predestined for us. One of the perfect names of Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Mutakabbir. Al-Mutakabbir means the greatest. Allah is the greatest. Who is clear of the attributes of the creations. And the one who subjugated by his power the tyrants amongst his creations. See, those who had some powers in the past, like Pharaoh of Egypt, who was a tyrant, and others who were strong, but they were tyrant, they lived for a while. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for some of them as well to live for hundreds of years, but they are not everlasting and they were subjugated by death. So death came to them no matter what. So where are those tyrant ones who had powers in the past? Where are the people of Ad that were mentioned in the Quran? Iram Azat al-Imad, Iram, a tribe from Ad. That tribe, Iram, they say the average tallness of one of them is 100 cubits. They were giants. They had powers. Ad, who was a king, had 260 kings under his command. Kings. 260 kings under his command. And he built, when he heard from the prophets, that was before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about paradise, He said, I'll build paradise on earth. So he built a place from gold. And he used all these kings, 260 kings under his command, to build this city from gold and other precious stones and the like. When he completed it, he wanted to go to that city to open it officially. On his way, just before he reached that city, Allah destroyed him and the ones who were with him by being swallowed by earth. So the earth is split up and swallowed all of them. And even that city was swallowed as well by the earth, and they were buried inside it. So where are those tyrant ones? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subjugated them by His power. Allah is Al-Khaliq, the Creator. And the meaning of it is that Allah is the one who brings into existence the creations. We do not create, we acquire deeds, but Allah creates them. We as bodies are created by Allah. So our deeds, for a greater reason, are created by Allah as well. And this is what the scholars said, like Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, that the deeds and the bodies of the slaves are created by Allah Azza wa Jal. If the body is created by Allah, then for a greater reason, the deeds are created by Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah said in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, meaning Allah created you and created your deeds as well. The non-believers at the time of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam used to make the idols, used to engrave them by their own hands, then they worship them. He said to them, do you worship what you engrave by your own hands? And Allah is the one who created you and created your deeds. Meaning you are creations of Allah and these are creations of Allah. So how dare you worship something that you engrave by your own hands? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only creator in this meaning, which is to bring things from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. And that word create in this meaning is not used except when in reference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, the word create in English, as the word khalaqa in Arabic, could be used in other than this meaning. In other than this meaning. For instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَتَخْلُقُونَ إِفْكَى, you fabricate lies. So it's mentioned here, وَتَخْلُقُونَ, it doesn't mean you create as in this meaning, bringing into, like from the state of non-existence into the state of existence, no. So the word خَلَقَ could come in different meanings, as the word create in English could be used in different meanings, depending on the context. So if you are working on the computer, for instance, they ask to create a file, meaning make. So here create means make. You can use it in that context. But in the context of bringing from the state of non-existence into the state of existence, that can only be used when in reference to Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why it is blasphemous to say, for instance, I want you to create this for me as Allah created you. Because when one says, I want you to create this for me as Allah created you, Allah created you, brought you from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. So here he is attributing that word create in this meaning, which is specific to Allah Azza wa Jal, to other than Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And this is classified as associating partners with Allah. Same case is with the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila in the past, a deviant group, used to say that the slave creates his own actions. They say not Allah creates everything. They say Allah creates our involuntary acts. But our voluntary acts, we create them. And look at yourself. What acts do you do more? The voluntary acts or the involuntary acts? Involuntary acts like what? See, when, for instance, you get scared of something and you make a movement, involuntary movement, when you are shivering, when you are cold, this is involuntary act. What are the voluntary acts? When you talk, when you walk, when you look here and there, when you make all these movements. So which acts you do more, the voluntary acts or the involuntary acts? The voluntary acts. So those Mu'tazila who say that Allah creates only your involuntary acts and you as a slave create your voluntary acts, they claim that the slave creates more than what Allah creates. This is associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All your deeds are created by Allah azza wa jal. But what's the difference between voluntary and involuntary acts? That the involuntary acts, you are not accountable for them. But the voluntary acts, you are accountable for them. That's why, let us say you were walking, you slip, and you fall on someone and you kill him. You are not sinful. This happened involuntarily, unintentionally. But if you kill someone intentionally, you are liable for it, accountable for it. That's the difference between voluntary and involuntary acts. The voluntary acts fall under the category of accountability. You are accountable for them. The involuntary acts, you are not accountable for them. But when you are talking about creating the acts, they are all created by Allah. We acquire the act, but we don't create it. We acquire it, but we don't create it. And we give that example, that the one who creates something must be knowledgeable about this creation. If one creates something, must be knowledgeable about what he creates. Allah said in the Quran, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقُ. Isn't Allah knowledgeable about what he creates? Of course Allah is. Allah is knowledgeable about what he creates. Now I'll give you one example. Now you have been sitting here in the lesson for a while. Can you tell me how many breaths you have done since you sat on the chair? You don't know. When you walk into this room, you make some steps from there to here. Can you tell me how many steps did you make? You don't know. What's the length of each stride you made? You don't know. So when you walk, you make strides. But you don't know how long each one is. 30 centimeters, 29.2 mil. You don't know. And these are voluntary acts that you do. But you don't know everything about them. So how can you be the creator of these acts and you don't know these details about them? You cannot be the creator of them. But Allah knows about you every single detail because Allah is your creator. So that's the meaning of Al-Khaliq, the one who brings from the state of non-existence into the state of existence. Al-Bari, close to Al-Khaliq, this could refer to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creations not in accordance with a previous example. or format. As a human being, there was no creation before the human being in the format and shape of a human being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these creations not according to previous images similar to them or previous examples or format. And Allah ta'ala is al-musawwir. Al-musawwir, the one who created the creations in different images, and by these images they are diverse and numerous. People are different. Look at the creations. You have how many species now? They talk about the marine species. How many species they have? You cannot count them. Look at the human beings. Subhanallah, different colors you see in the creations. If you were to trace the green color in the nature, how many levels of green color you can find in the nature? Up to now, you know how they say 12 megapixels, 15, 16, even 20, whatever they have now they make, they cannot get something similar to the fact in nature, all the colors in nature. You have millions and millions and millions of colors. Look at the green if you go to the rainforest. Look at the green, see how many degrees of green you find in the rainforest. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creations in different images, and by having different images, they are diverse and they are numerous. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about the number. Al-Ghaffar, that's the 15th perfect name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Ghaffar means the one who forgives the sins abundantly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghaffar. As Allah mentioned in the Quran, Al-Azizul Ghaffar. Al-Ghaffar has more meaning than Ghafir. Ghafir means the one who forgives. Ghafiru Zamb, the one who forgives the sins. Al-Ghafur and Al-Ghaffar, it means the one who forgives abundantly. Meaning, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly forgives the slaves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is called Al-Ghaffar. And if you were to talk about forgiveness, that will need lectures to talk about the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Ramadan, how many people are forgiven? From the believers. From the believers. Also in some nights, like the night, the 15th night of Sha'ban. On that night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows a special mercy on the slaves. By that mercy, all the believers will be forgiven. For some, all of their sins. For others, some of their sins. Except as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that those who have enmity between each other on a worldly matter, they won't be included on that night. So how many people will be forgiven on that night? When you talk about the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal, that's why when Our Lady Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet, if I see the night of Al-Qadr, what type of supplication should I make? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, say, O Allah, you are the one who forgives abundantly, and you commend forgiveness, I humbly ask you to forgive me. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and accept our deeds, and Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.